WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk. Stand by, Rutherford County. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Good morning. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. As always, on Thursday, we focus on agriculture in our community, and we're going to continue that. We're going to have two different topics on our program today. John L. Beatty is with us on the first round, and then right after that, we'll be talking with Rachel Painter to get an update on what's happening with the agricultural community. Some big things happening with the 4-H especially. Some news about the 4-H. We'll be covering that. First of all, John L., good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Bart, and everybody. Agriculture is very important to this county.
Very definitely. And for people who think, well, things have changed and the farmers aren't what they used to be, I disagree with that. I know I called John L. on the phone yesterday, and I had a hard time hearing you at first. There was some motor going in the background. What was that?
Oh, it's grinding feed.
Okay. So you were a real farmer.
Real farmer, grinding feed for hogs, and there's a lot of racket.
You mentioned grinding feed for hogs. For newcomers to town, John L. Beatty is not just a farmer. He loves what he does, and everybody ought to have a passion for what you do. John has done so much for the community. One of those, when he said grinding corn for hogs, I think of Wilbur from the movie Charlotte's Web. Wilbur was born on your farm, and we
raised and cared for Wilbur for 13 years and 8 months.
He was a star.
He was a star. He was a celebrity.
And the kids in the community, this is another way John's love for farms has been shared with others. The kids would come over, see Wilbur. This was great.
Went to schools, nursing homes.
He was smaller then, I guess.
He was smaller. He was on a
Wilbur
leash
got big.
and walk around, even been to a funeral.
Wilbur, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Okay. East Main Church of Christ.
A well-traveled pig.
Well-traveled.
Now, I remember, I guess it was not this past summer, but maybe the summer before, we did an interview type thing with Wilbur.
On his birthday.
Yeah, on his birthday, out at your farm.
Yes.
And he got a real treat that day.
He got a buttermilk milkshake.
He was a big fan of buttermilk.
He loved buttermilk.
And Jason Green and the folks at Reeves, what was Reeves?
Reeves Saints, you know, came out.
They came out and had a milkshake
for Wilbur. A milkshake, yes.
So Wilbur passed away early
Wilbur
this
passed
year.
Away early this year, and he was cremated, and he's buried in the family cemetery.
Because he was part,
it's
of,
part of us.
Yeah, very definitely. You had a dream, one of many dreams, not 5.5 years ago, I guess, to try to keep the memory of agriculture fresh in people's minds, because today's generation, they don't have a clue. When a lot of the young kids go to the grocery store, and they have no clue where milk comes from, where these vegetables and produce, different things come from, but you're wanting to keep it alive.
Yes, even back in the 80s and 90s, when my children were in school, we were about the only farm families that were there, and kids come out and see a calf running around, or a pig, or a goat, or sheep, whatever it was, and they were just fascinated. And since 30 years later, time has passed, less connected, And we needed some way to connect and memorize, mm-hmm. not in memory of the past. And I have a great past here.
People, I don't, we haven't been here, you know, it's been a small time compared to what other folks have, but I can remember clearly when the Avenue opened and you'd go to the Avenue, which was a nice modern shopping area, and you'd look across the road and there was a fence with cattle grazing and it was just so peaceful. What a great combination and what a great statement to people who got off the interstate there to see Murfreesboro. And they saw two worlds together. And that was what you were continuing with the Grove. The sunflowers.
The sunflowers,
and
strawberries.
The berries and all of those. People were able to go there. And then the Grove just really has become popular as an event venue with the agricultural setting.
Right. We started with the... And still renting the farm and all, but with strawberries and sunflowers and all, then the Grove, we set it up, redoing the barns and events, and the community has been so great for support to come out and to hold, night meetings, day meetings, morning meetings, luncheons. Whatever, we met a world of people over there.
And the Grove has sort of passed on that feeling of this is our roots, agriculture. And it's been phenomenal. But I understand growth is changing that.
Growth is changing. The Beatty's out of the Grove, and the Williamsons, their children, are going to operate it. And take it over. We've been partnerships with them. And they're taking that and doing that. But we're still doing the farming on the land.
So you'll still have the berries and sunflowers,
yes.
And things of that sort.
Yeah, whatever we come up with and work out that year.
So once the year ends, there's all this conversation about, we hear it all the time, about what's the biggest problem with Murfreesboro?
Traffic.
And so the city is looking at that area.
At that area. Across the road from the avenues you mentioned, all that open property, 80 acres. Some supposed to be developed to some business complex and all. So that has really spurred what to do with the roads. How to get them off of Wilkerson Pike. And Asbury, for years has been terrible. Out there picking strawberries is over the past 5 years is when you can really understand the traffic that's there when you're right beside the road. I was from a quieter side of town.
You were out in the Blackman community. Thank goodness the Beatty Farm in the Blackman community, I hope, is safe.
It's still there. But it's the oldest. A continuous farm in the county.
I didn't realize that.
Since 1807.
And you have turned that into what I think is just remarkable. When we went out to visit Wilbur, it was like walking through a living museum. The ponds, the store, the country store that has the products that you grow and create.
Grow there. And we've saved the old log cabins that were there and restored them. Moved them and put them to use and all.
So that is going to continue.
Yes.
Your products are going to continue at area stores where they already are.
Yeah. There's no change there. And we open a little store on the farm on Friday afternoons and Saturday mornings. Everything's still the same.
But the babies
at the Grove
won't.
Yeah, they're... Williamson's going to manage the Grove.
So it will continue for a period of time.
Yeah,
we don't know what that period is, but obviously there is an interest of roads and the Grove and that farm, the old Williamson farm, is in the right place for roads.
Well, it's 240 acres of it there, right up next to the interstate, and across from all the hotels and all. So where do you? They're hemmed.
That's one of those things. That's a shame with growth, because those two factions could be so good together. It says, hey, we do have new. We have grown, but we still value the old. And the two together complement each other.
Well, the gate they made at the gateway to Murfreesboro, and you had the old and you had the new.
Right.
And a good mix.
And so that mix is in danger. That mix is more than in danger.
Yeah, they probably want some roads to go through there.
And so
City, they built all these apartments and all down Asbury and kept developing that and no way out.
And that seems to be our biggest problem. The mayor has been on and talked about the apartments creating traffic situation. Come on in. Have a seat. John's son-in-law, Brandon Witt, just arrived. And we're just sort of talking a little bit, Brandon, about things that are going on, growth. It's one of those things. Growth has a double-edged sword. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. And it's good for jobs. It's good to keep us alive. I'd much rather have growth than be in some communities not too far away, and you go downtown and everything is an empty building. We're the opposite of that, and that means we have jobs. And John L., you're a fortunate guy because you kept your family close by. If they don't have jobs, your family's going to move to another town. And so that's one of the other pluses here. Has some negatives with it, but it also has pluses. It keeps your family here.
Yes, I was involved in growing up as a kid in farming and learning. Farming is a passion, and you've got to understand it and go with the highs and the lows, the droughts, the freezes, the winters, or whatever. It's always up and down like a yo-yo.
Yeah. And Brandon, your son-in-law, do you have that passion? Did you grow up on a farm?
I did. I grew up in Wilson County, just on the north side of Cedars of Lebanon State Park. Grew up helping some local dairy farmers there, and grew up with some beef cattle and some tobacco there. So had that growing up, just not on as large a scale as we do now.
And what you do now, we've talked a little about this. John's dream is to preserve agriculture and let the generation who's here now, let them know where these products come from. And that's been part of what your goal is, too.
Oh, absolutely. I just finished over at Brock East office speaking at a prayer breakfast this morning with a group of guys and asking a lot of questions about agriculture and how we get the products that we raise to their dinner tables and all. And that was a conversation this morning. And, you can't help but have a lot of passion in that. Because what you do, like I was telling the guys this morning, our entire existence is because of 6 inches of topsoil. And it's up to us to take care of that as good stewards of the land and to preserve that and to be able to pass that on to the next generation for them to provide for their people in their community.
So you are the original ecology group, really. I mean, when you get down, we talked today about we need to learn to preserve our world better. Farmers are the ones who've done that all along.
They were the first ones. You take care of the land, it'll take care of you.
And that is so important.
Yes.
We still haven't learned that lesson yet. I mean, the regular folks haven't. You all
right.
You learned it and lived it.
Well, we've become such a, in a lot of ways, we've become an instant society, and we want to see things. If we want something, we want it now. We don't want it later. We don't want to wait on it. We have things at our disposal all around us, and that's great for our households and things. But when you look at what we have, farmers use things. You try to be the most efficient you can, one, because it affects your bottom line if you're not efficient, but also because if there's an opportunity to reuse something or repurpose something, why not use it instead of just throwing it away?
Let me ask you this, because John L. has told us a little about what has happened. You're moving away from the Grove at Williamson Place. It will continue for a period of time, but we do know that that land is being looked at for roads to reduce the traffic.
Yeah, so, you know, the Williamsons that own the land there have been tremendous partners over the last several years to kind of follow along with an opportunity, a vision that I had of preserving that place and helping that place that sits right in the middle of town to be preserved and to celebrate agriculture. Instead of folks just driving by looking at old barns and grown-up fence rows, to turn it into a place that people drive by and see on a daily basis that happens to sit right behind the Chamber of Commerce and say, I appreciate that because of what's raised there.
And it puts out that message of peace and just a different time, which we need. I mean, in today's fast-paced world, we need a place to look at and think, that is a powerful statement right over there. Look at that.
Well, that and the fact that, you know, we, just like WGNS here, we look at our operation as a lot of the good points of that Mayberry had.
Oh, absolutely.
And when you come to our farm store and you walk and are greeted up at the front porch by John L. and a big smile and a welcome into our store, you can't help but take a step back in time and to take a breath and to have an opportunity to walk into a sales, a retail outlet, but with a little different approach to it. And that's what we tried to help extend and create more of into the Grove because of its visibility there and all. But like we stated yesterday, we certainly appreciate all the work and the effort that the city put behind us into preserving that and to work along with us. We do want to extend an appreciation of thanks to the city for working with us and the county for making that much easier on us than it could have been.
How much longer do you think that that's going to be as we have seen it and enjoy it?
I really would have no idea. It may carry on for another 25 years, you know.
Well, so there's that chance.
I don't, you know, with us not being, you know, partners and business owners in the Grove anymore, it's not up to us to determine how, when, or what will happen there. But we do know that there is a need to greatly improve the traffic flow and the public safety standpoint out there in that immediate vicinity. Many of our friends, many of the folks that go to church with us live down Asbury Road, and we constantly hear of the struggles that they have just to get out and to conduct business and to go to work. And same thing with Wilkinson Pike. If you've ever caught yourself coming down Wilkinson Pike at 5 o'clock in the evening, bless your heart, because it's going to be a while. And so there's definite needs that, you know, are going to have to be fixed there. How the city does that with the Williamson family will be totally up to them. But as you know, as far as we're concerned, as Beatty Farms, John and I, we're still as actively farming and advocates for ag and for this community as ever. And so it doesn't change really any of our business model whatsoever. It just refocuses and, you know, turns things to a different area.
We just need to drive to a different location to soak in that feeling. And you can still soak in that feeling. I mean, it's right there at the Beatty Farm.
Yeah, the avenues, the Grove is still going to be there. It'll be a while. Even for the roads, you don't know the plans, but that's kind of the direction it is going.
Well, the city has already drawn out plans. I mean,
yeah.
It's not in the dreaming stages. I mean, it's down on paper.
It's down on paper, and they've seen the need and heard the need from everything they put on Asbury down there, let it overdeveloped or whatever.
Well, we certainly hope they do it in a, you know, it comes to a mutual agreement and do it in a manner that best benefits the community, takes in the best interest of the grove and the efforts to, you know, preserve that particular piece of land in a way that it can be, knowing that it, you know, ultimately will be affected in some form or fashion, but to take into account, you know, the ability to preserve as much as possible there.
Well, again, I just want to underline, and we talk about this regularly, how important it is to support family businesses. And we say, you know, the family businesses, those are the ones that make our community special, that make it different. You have that feel that people look at, that's Murfreesboro, that's Rutherford County, that's why I love it here. And that's why they need to support the Beatty Farms and people who have dreams like you two.
And all local businesses. You're exactly right. The merchants and all farmers had to come to town to get all their products, groceries and everything. And your local business, the ones that knew them, supported them.
And that's why we need to keep that feel alive, the connection between our past and our present. Otherwise, we'll forget. One day we'll wake up and the kids today won't know that this was an agricultural community.
Right.
It's all about preserving the past and embracing the future, and that's something that Catherine and I, John's daughter and I, my wife, you know, talked about many years ago. You know, how do we take the farm and we preserve that past and we honor that past, but how do we embrace the future as we move forward, knowing that nothing can ever stay the same, right? We all adapt and we change and we do different things in life. And so how do we as a farm family, as a farm operation, adapt and fit into the mold of what modern day life, modern day society looks like? And so that's something that we've been very focused on doing over the years and being a part of this community, one, because we love this community and we happen to love what we do. And we want to know that we have an impact on, you know, families that sit around at Thanksgiving dinner and know that we had a positive impact on, you know, their family outing together and, you know, celebrating family time together and being thankful and everything. And so that's something that's very near and dear to our hearts. And it's, we don't always make the right decisions or the best decisions, but that's something that you live with and you strive for on a daily basis.
Well, I want to say thank you for all that your family has done to preserve this part of our community's history. And we wish you well in continuing to support it. And we encourage the public to support the remembrance of agriculture because it has been such, and still is, such a strong part of our community.
Right. Agriculture was the number one industry in the state and the county until Nissan came in 81. And I think it was 10 years afterwards. Nissan was here before industry took over agriculture. The economy impact was in there. So agriculture was here a long time. And one of the reasons Nissan came because they had such strong workers, so many farmers coming off, it had a work ethic.
And that is started. So important. And,
yeah.
And that's what America is, strong work ethics, people who have a passion to do something,
yeah.
And people who do it the right way.
Right.
So, and that's what farming is all about. Strong, ethical people who do it the right way.
Yeah.
Well, and you're starting to see a refocus of that too. And starting with our, you know, our governor Governor Lee is really focused on education and you know, skilled labor. Education going, working out into the task force. And that's something that we have to reinvest ourselves in to make sure that we're putting skilled labor out into all kinds of diversified different areas, not just streamlining them through a college education and putting them behind a desk and a computer. We're going to need people that can farm and that can do plumbing work and electrical work and HVAC work and mechanicking and all kinds of skilled labor that we're going to have to need regardless of how technological we get in our world. We're going to have those people that can use our hands and have knowledge of how to do it.
Very definitely.
And broadcasters.
I'd like to keep them alive, too. Local broadcasters. Before we leave, are there any other thoughts that you want to share? Because, you know, this is not closing of a chapter. This is a redirection.
No. You know, if you've been in business for over 200 years, it's just another step in society. But, yeah, no, we'll still be existing. This is a wonderful opportunity we had and a challenge ahead of operating Grove and getting it off the ground and getting it started. But a wonderful opportunity. And we met a lot of wonderful people and connections and all with that.
You've had an impact,
yes.
A positive impact in people's lives.
Well,
I mean, the weddings and things of that
yes.
sort over there.
I think the positive impact has really been displayed to us. You know, as news and media, we hear about all the bad in our community all the time. And I couldn't help but sit up last night and, you know, just kind of scroll through comments and things on our Facebook page. And it's the amount of humility it gives you as a person is unbelievable to know that people appreciate you and enjoy the efforts. Even though sometimes you don't always see the fruits of the labor that you think you were going to see from it. But the impact that you had and the impact that you have on your community is just tremendous. And the outpouring of support for our family and our family farm is just it's unprecedented. And it's unbelievable to see people support you, because we do try to represent something that's good and wholesome and diversified in the community that provides people, you know, families just like ours, an opportunity to get out and to do something different. And to see those kids' smiling faces when they come pick strawberries or when they come to the store and they get their picture with Wilbur, like we've done so many times in the past at Christmas time. That's what creates a memory with people. And we certainly are blessed to be able to provide those opportunities. And really, they enjoy those opportunities, but it's us that really reap the benefits and the rewards from that, being able to see people enjoy, engage, and be a part of agriculture, even if it's just for a moment.
You know, it's like anything you do. I think you hit it on the head, because it's if you do it with love and you're not worried about the outcome, not wanting to get rich, the good things happen. You may not see them. It may not happen the way you wished that they happened, but you have had a positive impact, and you continue to have a positive impact. And to the Beatty family, the Beatty Farms, thank you for all that you've done in the past. And everybody,
thank you, Bart.
You need to go over and check out the Beatty Farms. Where is that?
So our retail store is located at 5331 Baker Road. We're just about a mile and a half west of the interstate off of Medical Center Parkway. Come out and see us. We're open every Friday and Saturday. We do have our holiday hams and turkeys still on sale, so you can get those in just in time for Thanksgiving. And we'll have old-fashioned sausage and bacon and all of our good pork products on sale coming up through the holidays. And we certainly appreciate all of you coming out and being a part of Beatty Farms and farming here in Rutherford County.
That's Brandon Witt, the son-in-law, and John L. Beatty. You got to be proud. I mean, your family, you got to be proud of them.
I'm very proud.
And we are proud of all of you. Thank you for joining us today.
Have a great
Thank
day.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Our focus on agriculture continues in just a moment. We're going to check on the traffic and weather.
He's local. Certified financial planner Jason Qualls. Financial Coaching Radio. Weekdays at 4 on News Radio WGNS.
Erectile dysfunction is the check engine light of the male body. It is often a symptom of a larger medical problem. You can ignore it or mask it, but to get peak performance, you must deal with the underlying cause. And if you continue ignoring the warning signs, you do so at your own risk. There's plenty of ways to treat ED. The only way to get rid of it is to address the underlying cause. Call the Billups Center and schedule a medical consultation today. We take health insurance and offer comprehensive care.
The Billups Center, medicine that matters to men.
As the Christmas season is approaching, there are many parties out there and last-minute gifts, and Demas is here to be able to help you along with all those things. Hi, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurants. One of the things that we have to offer is obviously our gift cards, and the gift cards come in any denomination. We have our seasonings that makes a perfect gift. We have Demas's classic t-shirts. Demas's also now has catering to be able to serve you and to be able to take care of you. Any of this information is available online, www.demasrestaurants.com.
Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with our family. You can find us at 919 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro. That's next to the bowling lanes. And don't forget to treat your pet like family this Christmas. We carry a full range of supplies to keep all kinds of pets happy and healthy. And if you have a pet lover on your Christmas list, don't forget a gift for their pet. Come visit our family at 919 Northwest Broad Street here in Murfreesboro, next to the bowling alley. That's Animal City.
Hi, this is Tina Fox at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op Farm and Home Center, 985 Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off of South Church. Come see us for all your Christmas needs. We have great Christmas gift ideas. We have Christmas decorations. We also have wonderful clothing, boots, anything you would need for your feathered friends and your furry friends. This is Tina Fox at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op Farm and Home Center. Come visit us at Farmers Co-op for all your Christmas needs. We are located at 985 Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off of South Church.
We'll see mostly sunny skies here this afternoon with a high in the upper 40s. Winds out of the southwest around 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, low of 27. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 29.
The Daikin Fit from Precision Air for your home's heating and air system. No money down and financing starting as low as $89 a month. Call Precision Air. 615-834-3777. Online at precisionairtn.com.
The Wake Up Crew. Weekday morning, 6 to 7:50.
WGNS, your good neighbor station.
Rutherford County's place to talk.
We continue our focus on agriculture here in Rutherford County and WGNS. Rachel Painter joins us now from the Agricultural Extension Service over at the Lane Agri-Park, right here in town. Rachel, good morning to you. Good to have you with us today.
Good morning.
And I understand the 4-H is having some special things very soon. I mean, it sounds like it's far away, but December 14th will be here before we know it.
Exactly. They're going to have their pancake breakfast and marketplace. So they had this last year, and Santa will be there. You can take a selfie with him. There's tons of different holiday gift ideas. So they actually opened up our community center, and they have vendors in there. So you can come and find some unique, you know, homemade gift ideas for Christmas. And again, this is December 14th, and that's from 8 a.m. until noon for the breakfast. So you have to come in early for the breakfast, but the marketplace will run until 2 p.m., so be sure to put that on your calendar and come out. And so they use that as one of their main fundraisers for our 4-H'ers. So, 4-H takes a lot of funding to be able to put on all of those amazing programs that they offer and things like that so that they can keep the cost low for the children to be involved. So please come out and support them. And, you get a tasty breakfast with that. So pancake breakfast, typically, they also have, a meat and maybe eggs or something like that to go with it. So not just pancakes. And then, like I said, Santa will be there, and then a ton of different vendors. And so that's a really great event every year, great way to get involved with the community and just have something to go do on a Saturday morning. So put that on your calendar again, December 14th, 8 a.m. until noon for the breakfast part. And then the marketplace runs from 8 a.m. until 2 p.m. this year. So again, come on out and support them.
And we were talking a little bit ago about the importance of passing on to our next generation the importance of agriculture. That's exactly what 4-H does, and it's not just people who live on farms. It's in most of the schools here.
Yeah, so our 4-H agents and program assistants go out and they teach different lessons. And, you know, not all of them are actually directly related to agriculture. They do a lot of STEM activities as well. And really, 4-H just grows our next generation and helps them become responsible, respectful adults. And so, you know, that's what we want all of our children to grow up to be. So I hope that you'll support that program. And here in Tennessee, we have an awesome 4-H program. So we are the largest in the nation, the Tennessee 4-H. So, you know, that's amazing. And that kind of speaks to the volumes of the program. So that many children want to be involved, that many parents want their youth involved in this program. And so if we have the largest program in the state, then I think we're doing something right. So,
absolutely.
Yes.
Now, speaking of things to do to learn how to get more involved in any field of agriculture, mm-hmm. I think the Master Gardeners, that's another one of your groups that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And people hear the Master Gardeners on the radio answering questions they have.
Yes.
But a lot of folks are wanting to take that class,
mm-hmm.
and you can sign up now, I understand.
Yes, the Master Gardener program is open right now for applications, so those will be open until December 1st. So, again, that is coming up very quickly. So, please, if you are interested, do not delay. Go ahead and go and get that application. It's also on our website, so you can just go to rutherford.tennessee.edu and then click on the Agriculture tab, and that Master Gardener application will be right there. Again, you can also just come into our office and fill out that application in person. So the Master Gardener program is a trained volunteer program. So you go through 40 hours of training classes, mm-hmm. which is amazing because they're taught by extension agents, specialists, other Master Gardeners in the area. And so you get to learn, sit down and learn, and then you use that knowledge to give back to the community. So you serve volunteer hours. And the Master Gardeners also put on Garden Basics. So if you are not interested in becoming a volunteer, you know, you don't have time to devote to that, you just want to learn the basics to get started in your own backyard, Garden Basics might be for you. So Garden Basics is only a 5-week class, and those are on Thursday nights in the spring. So they're going to start in
January, end of January.
I believe this is wrong, actually, what is on our newsletter. So those will be a little bit later this year. So some of the feedback from last year was that people thought that those were too early on in the year. So they put those on, and then they had to wait a month before they started planting mm-hmm. anything. And so they said, I want this to be, you know, maybe in March next year. So we will have Garden Basics in March.
I thought maybe you knew something I didn't really. It's going to start in early spring, and I thought, I'm ready for spring.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. No, not yet. So Garden Basics will be a little bit later next year, just based on our feedback. So we do take everyone's feedback into account. So Garden Basics is $50, and you get a soil test as part of that. So, you know, 15 of that $50 goes towards your soil test, and we will explain how to take one, and then you'll all get your results back as part of the Garden Basics class, and we go over how to read those, how to use that information now that you have it. Because sometimes those results can be hard to understand and hard to implement. So yes, two different options there, depending on, you know, what you want to do. If you want to become a volunteer, if you just want to use this information, you know, in your own backyard. So again, Master Gardener applications and Garden Basics applications are now open. So go and apply for one of those.
Now, that soil test you were talking about, that is so important.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking at trying to grow grass, maybe you moved into a home that is brand new and mm-hmm. doesn't have a lawn yet. Maybe you don't have trees or shrubs or something of that sort. Or you want to have a garden and you have no clue what to do to get ready. Of course, you're not going to plant a garden right now. But you could do the soil test.
Yeah, soil test is a great place to start, especially like you were saying, if you just bought a new house or something like that. And typically your soil test is good for about 3 years. So maybe you did one a long time ago and it's time to redo it. So a soil test is a great place to start. And again, those do cost $15, and we send them to our lab in Nashville, and they send you results. And so that takes about 2 weeks to get results back. And so now is a good time if you can dig in the soil. It's not frozen. and send in that soil now so that you can get those results back, so you know exactly what to do and when. They'll break it down for you and tell you exactly when to be applying any kind of fertilizers or amendments and things like that. So again, it takes the guesswork out of it, which is, you know, we all want the answer. We think, you know, if there's an issue, we just Google it and the answer comes up. And so to me, this is kind of a delayed Google. It tells you exactly what you need to do, and it takes the guesswork out of it for you.
I want to tell people when you're saying digging in the soil, it may be frozen. It's 39 degrees right now. This is a major story.
Yes.
Because yesterday it did not get above freezing.
Exactly. There's still snow on the ground.
Yeah.
You know, and it hasn't gotten warm enough to melt it, you know, in these places where there's still shade. So it has stayed pretty chilly outside since the temperature dropped. So yes, exactly. It's a little bit warm out there. So get out and enjoy this heat wave.
Yeah, 39 out there today, and which is great to have. It's going to get even warmer, up to 51 possibly. Let's cross our fingers.
Exactly. Yes, we might thaw out.
Anything that people need to be doing right now, ending up the past season or getting ready for the next season.
Well, it is, you know, mid-November pretty much. So, you know, around this time of the year, we start to get some phone calls of different pests moving inside. So I've heard from some people they're having, you know, ladybugs or other insects trying to come inside to the warmth. And this is kind of late in the year because normally that's happening in October, but it was still so hot outside. So they're probably moving inside around this time. And that's just because it's warm inside. They're cold and they're searching out some warmth. Good place to stay for the winter, just like we are. And so what can you do for them? Basically go around and vacuum them up. So most of those kind of insects emit a pheromone to attract their friends and say, hey, look, I found a good place to live. Come join me. And so vacuum them up, throw them away, get them out of your house, of course. And then wash any areas where you found them, you know, with a little bit of soapy water if possible. You know, around your baseboards or something like that. And again, that just gets rid of that pheromone that is attracting the others. So now's a good time to do that and simply just seal up how they're getting inside. So again, just go around your windows, around your door frames, things like that. And, you know, that's just, you know, somewhat common sense because you want to keep your heat inside your house. But it's also good because you're keeping insects and other critters out. So again, just go around and seal up any entrances to your home.
And your home will be warmer also for you.
Exactly. Win-win, you know.
Now, we're hearing stories about crepe myrtles are beautiful, and they're having some challenges right now.
Yeah, so we did find crepe myrtle bark scale here in Rutherford County. And what that looks like, it's a tiny little insect. So go outside and really kind of look your crepe myrtles over. And typically it's found in the bark, in the tree crotches. So look at those branches and look where they kind of branch off from the main trunk and see if you see any of those. So they look like a tiny little felt-looking white insect. So look for those. We have some photos of those on our website, on our newsletter. You can look that up. Or just look up crepe myrtle bark scale. And again, it is on our crepe myrtles. And so we love our crepe myrtles here in Rutherford County. They're everywhere. And typically they are pretty much pest free, because there hasn't been many insects that really love a crepe myrtle, until now. So these were introduced into the United States in Texas, and they have been slowly making their way here. And so they were found in Tennessee around 2014, and then that was in West Tennessee. Now they're moving into Middle Tennessee. So they have been found in other counties. It has been identified here in Rutherford County just this summer. So be on the lookout for that. And again, if you think you have that, please call us. If you can, if it's on a smaller branch or something, a small twig, clip that off, bring it into our office. We'd be happy to look at it for you and see if that is what it is. And then again, we can recommend a treatment option.
And for people who don't know where the Ag Center is, where are you?
We are right down the street from Sam's, right next to Paul's. So 315 John R. Rice Boulevard. And again, that's Lane Agri Park, if you've ever heard of that. And some people just know us as where the farmer's market is. So again, 315 John R. Rice Boulevard. And you can bring in a sample of anything. We'd be happy to look at it for you, see if we can figure it out. So a pest sample, a plant sample. And again, just make sure you put those in a sealed container of some sort. So you don't want to just bring us a twig that has been laying on the ground all summer. Not much we can do to identify anything on that for you, but try to bring us something that still has a little bit of life to it. And that way we can try to figure out what's going on.
We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll be back and continue the conversation with Rachel Painter from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. It's the time of the year that we start to enjoy eating more. And the Ag Center has some great ideas on that. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back.
We're News Radio WGNS, 100.5, 101.9, 1450, online and on your phone at WGNSradio.com.
This is Lisa Halliburton with Bell Jewelers. We just introduced a new designer. Her name's Jude Francis. She's out of Newport Beach, California. She has a lot of stackable bracelets and earring charms and just fun jewelry that's easy to wear on a daily basis. Come in and slip some on.
Bell Jewelers is celebrating 140-year anniversary as Murfreesboro's oldest retailer.
821 Northwest Broad Street, Murfreesboro.
Experience real hometown banking. I'm Shelly Rigsby, manager of First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We've made banking easy for you with our great customer experience, and you will also have 24/7 access with our online and mobile banking. So whether you want the in-person experience or banking on the go, come see us at the Bank Murfreesboro Calls First. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, Mercury Boulevard, member FDIC.
We'll see mostly sunny skies here this afternoon with a high in the upper 40s. Winds out of the southwest around 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, low of 27. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 29.
Broadcasting from the Billups Center studio, medicine that matters to men. Online at thebillupscenter.com.
We have just a few minutes left in our broadcast, but we are moving rapidly toward Thanksgiving. Just a matter of days away now, about a couple of weeks, and it'll be here. And that, of course, once that's here, the rush continues to move toward Christmas and cookies and cakes and pies and all sorts of goodies. What can people get some good recipes through the Ag Center?
Yes, of course. And typically we offer some recipes that have some alternatives, so they might be a little bit healthier options. And we have a few different agents that offer cooking classes and things of that sort. So if you are interested in learning how to cook, or maybe how to cook healthier meals, or how to stretch your food dollar, then our agents are available, and they offer classes on that all the time. So come and talk to them, talk to our office. Again, you can call our extension office at any time and speak to an agent, 615-898-7710. You can also go and sign up for our newsletter. So we send out a monthly newsletter by email, and typically it has a recipe in there. And so they're timely recipes that go with something you might be trying to make at that time, or a food that might be in season. So right now, this month, we send out roasted cauliflower. So there's interesting recipes in there every month. And so those are by our Family Consumer Sciences agents. And so they really offer some great ideas. And so sign up for our newsletter. You can do that on our website, again, rutherford.tennessee.edu. And that newsletter has all kinds of information in there from all of our program areas. So 4-H information about things that you might want to be signing up for coming up for your youth. Again, our horticulture information, the information about our crepe myrtle bark scale was in there this month. And the farmer's market updates. So again, the farmer's market is actually closed for this year. So it ended at the end of October. And we will be opening back up in May. So, you know, there's been a lot of people driving out there this time of year wishing that it was still open, and it is not, unfortunately. So you'll have to wait until next year for that. But yeah, go and sign up for our newsletter, get those recipes, learn about things that are coming up. So again, our Master Gardener applications are still open until December 1st. Be sure to sign up for that. And Garden Basics applications are now open as well.
And a word to the wise, don't waste any time. Sign up for those, because they do usually fill up.
Yes, yes, they are filling up quickly. So please come on and apply now. So again, applications on the website and in our office.
Absolutely. Rachel Painter, our guest in this segment from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. Don't forget the 4-H Pancake Breakfast and Marketplace, December the 14th. Circle that date, December the 14th. We'll be telling you more about that. Breakfast starts at 8 that morning. Rachel, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Truman is next right here on WGNS Murfreesboro. Have a great day.